Content websites. How can we grow out of what Google has done for organic traffic for sites that are reliant on Google traffic? Hi, I'm Jared Krause. I'm the host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today I'm speaking with Alex Cooper, who is the brains behind the WP Eagle brand and his YouTube channel. And he teaches affiliate marketing, WordPress to the masses and so many business skills. He started out sharing his skills on WordPress. And he also has the world's most popular CMS system for making websites. And this is still a passion of his. And he loves helping people in business. He does videos all the time and tries to help his community and followers succeed on the internet. Now, in this podcast episode, Alex and I have a bit of a refreshing conversation around what's it like in the market of buying an online business right now in terms of multiples. Are people buying businesses? Are people on the sidelines? Where are people spending the cash? Have people been hit by this Google thing, Google update? What has happened to those people that have been hit? Just an open, all honest, raw conversation. We also talk about some of the things that Alex has been speaking with other influencers in internet marketing and SEO around how they're changing their businesses, their content websites to still earn a revenue and maybe either gain more traffic and or optimize traffic they already have and build out a rounded business that isn't only reliant on Google traffic. Now, we talk about entrepreneurship, we talk about getting started, we talk about mindset. There's so much value in this podcast episode. I'm sure you're going to absolutely love it. If you are looking to buy a business and you haven't got my due diligence framework, make sure you go away and get that at buyingonlinebusiness.com/free resources. It's the framework that I use, it's what my clients use, and it's helped us make millions of dollars and save millions of dollars when acquiring online businesses. Now let's dive into the pod. Do you have a website you might want to sell either now or in the future? We have a hungry list of cashed up and trained up buyers that want to buy your content website. If you have a site making over $300 per month and want to sell it, head to buyingonlinebusinesses.co/sell-your-business. Or email us at info@buyingonlinebusinesses.com because we will likely have a buyer. Details are in the description.
Okay.
Alex, back on the pod. We didn't work out how long it's been, but it's been more than a year, probably more than 2 years, actually. How are you?
It's got to be more than 2 years. I'm good. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to chat. I've been getting a bunch of people on the pod to talk about SEO and Google and blogging. And I have been known to teach people to buy blogs and content websites, also e-commerce businesses, SaaS and membership businesses. But traditionally people were buying blogs to start off with because they're typically easier to run. Now things have changed and pivoted, and it might only be for a short period of time. We'll see. That's why I'm having a conversation with you, is like, what's happening out there in the landscape of Google and SEO? And I'm speaking to a bunch of SEOs, but yeah, what are you finding out and learning?
It's been brutal. It's been really brutal. So yeah, I mean, I've been in the UK just last weekend. I was at affiliate gathering and there was a whole load of bloggers and niche website owners there. And yeah, I was talking to them, although they were fairly optimistic. There were some people there that have had, you know, entire portfolios of content sites absolutely destroyed by Google. And yeah, it's been brutal. Even people that had very successful content sites that were producing high quality, authentic, real content, useful content, the kind of content that Google has been asking for and has said that if you create that kind of content, you will be rewarded with traffic. They were hit as well. And there was one person there that had over 100 sites pretty much go to zero via a manual penalty. And they were quite well known on YouTube as well. So I don't know if there's a connection there, but there does seem to be people that were, I don't want to say bragging, but they were sharing their success via YouTube regarding SEO and regarding their niche websites. It seems like Google has actually come after them and given them a slap manually. But even people that weren't on YouTube were also hit. And I had two little projects on the side that were growing quite nicely. One was AI content, one was human written, and they've both been completely destroyed. So yeah, it's an interesting time. I say people are still optimistic. They're coming up with new ideas and, you know, pivoting. I've gone off that word pivoting, but yeah, no, they're changing their approach to how they make money online.
As you should. And that's what, you know, my approach has been buy a business, buy an established business, whether it's a blog, an e-commerce business, or, you know, a membership or SaaS business. And obviously more people now are just leaning towards, those different business models. We see that you know, from the SEO agency that I partner with, I see a lot of the e-com brands have gained a bunch of traffic through some of this, which has been very interesting to see. And it sucks because we've got a bunch of people that own content sites that have been hit as well, myself included, and changing, you know, changing the revenue streams around and trying to change a bunch of different things. So have you noticed like you said you got an AI site and you had one that's, you know, a different site that, you know, you put, you know, original content on and stuff like that. Have you noticed like, and being through at the affiliate gathering and speaking to a bunch of people in the space, have you noticed that like any trends of like who's been hit, why, who's been hit the hardest and how?
It seems like everyone's been hit. If you're not Forbes or New York Times or Reddit, it seems that, you know, getting search traffic is very difficult. People that are more resilient are those that have a more diverse business around their website. And I think that's probably the key now, rather than just focusing on Google traffic and then affiliate commissions, which was the model before it was, you know, quite straightforward. You'd do a bit of keyword research. You'd find some long tail, low competition keywords, create some content around them, and then you could build out a site from there, get some traffic from Google, earn some affiliate commissions, and then maybe add something like Ezoic and then Mediavine to monetize via ads. And that worked pretty well. But now it seems that people are kind of turning it into a proper business, which probably we all should have done anyway. So things like adding e-commerce and creating your own product, whether that be physical or digital, things like having a membership site seems to work quite well. And yeah, just thinking about it as a real business, building an email list as well, so that you're not just getting traffic from Google and then sending it straight off to someone else so that they can capitalize on getting the customer. You're actually capturing those people's details on the way through. And then you're able to build funnels and other processes around that so that you can increase the lifetime value of that visitor to your website. And people that were using social media in a productive way, in a consistent way, were also more resilient, so you got more traffic. So things like Pinterest for very visual niches and Instagram and YouTube and TikTok and, you know, all the social platforms. If you've got a proper strategy and a plan for them, that definitely gives you a little bit more resilience. And it was the sites that were dependent on Google traffic, where, you know, 95% of their traffic was Google. They're obviously the ones that have been completely...
The key word that you mentioned there is dependent, single source dependency, something that I learned very harshly. So similar. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's site's different and business is different. But back in, I think it was 2018, I was single source dependent on Facebook ads and Facebook traffic through just ads. And Facebook shut down my account, my advertising account. So I had no business. Like I had no business, no income, no stress. You know, I was stuffed, completely stuffed, right? It wasn't like, oh, I've lost 70, 80, 90%. It's like I lost everything.
Did they give you a reason for closing your account?
There was a lot of accounts through that time period that got shut down, and it happened like maybe 2 years ago as well. And they go through and they just cull a bunch that are like, not within their policies and guidelines, ads that are apparently not in their policies or guidelines, things like passive income and stuff like that, using those sorts of words in your ads was not very, you know, not within them. Yeah, make money online really got, smashed. I basically had no business and I learned the hard way of single source dependency. And then through that and teaching more people to acquire businesses, every time somebody would send a business to us, we do a due diligence review, we point out the top risk is always, typically with blogs, always single source dependency. And sometimes it was mostly single source dependency on Pinterest traffic. There were a lot of blogs that were just getting a lot of traffic from Pinterest when Pinterest went, like, I think it might've been 3 or 4 years ago, where everybody's just like realizing Pinterest was getting a lot of traffic for blogs. It was quite popular. So yeah, that diversification of traffic is really, really important. And that sucks, and it's hard to hear for people listening that have blogs now. And now it's like a lesson that I don't want anybody to have to learn, because I know how hard it is. Unfortunately, it's something that we will learn from, or eventually we're just going to learn to build these businesses that are more rounded in terms of like offering different products and services at different parts of the journey for the audience and the users through multiple channels and email lists. We're adding, I have a blog that is craft site, and it got smashed, and we just decided to turn ads off completely and sell digital products, build out the email list, sell digital products, and go that way. We might slowly turn ads back on and test, see how it goes. But have you noticed anybody, changing how their revenue streams and seeing good results in what they've done yet?
Yeah, I was speaking to a guy called Mad Singers who was at the event, and yeah, he's had a lot of success with courses and digital products. And actually, to the point, he had a great tip where he would go onto somewhere like Udemy, because he building a course and everything, that takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. But yeah, going on to Udemy, looking for courses that were within his niche, going through the ones and finding ones that maybe it only had a handful of sales that weren't doing particularly well, because Udemy is like everything else. If you haven't got that kind of momentum behind you, it's very hard to start selling. And just approach these people and, buy the course, have a look at the course if it's decent, and go, oh, we love your course. We'll get a few grand for it if we can take the ownership of that course. And these people they're more than happy, because they're going to break even, or at least get their money back in terms of the time and money they've invested in the course. It's not working out on Udemy. So he'd scoop up these courses and then package them up as a product to sell on his sites. But then also physical products as well, from a drop shipping perspective. If you're in a niche that can have physical products, maybe it's gardening or crafts or something like that, it's looking for products that you can drop ship through the site. And that seems to be working quite well for some people. I'm glad you mentioned paid traffic, actually, because that's something I just forgot. There was a lot of people there talking about how having the control that you get from paid traffic is just fantastic. And, it doesn't work so well if you just have that straight affiliate site where you're sending traffic straight out through outbound affiliate links. But if you do have a funnel and you are building an email list, or if you've got physical products or digital products, then paid traffic is just fantastic.
I mean, when you think about it with Mads and some other people that might be doing this with their blogs now, is that if you start offering a course that you own, and say you're selling the course for a couple of $100, you can afford to, scale that business with paid traffic. Typically, if you get your marketing right, and maybe your cost per acquisition might be, who knows, $20 per course, and you're selling a $100 course, you're making $80 every single person that you put through, plus you're building your email list on the way through as well, so you can remarket to them, not just on the platform, but you can remarket different products. Doesn't mean to be more courses. It could be physical products that are on your email list as well. So the way I see it.
Yeah, and then also you can promote affiliate products as well via your list.
Correct, yeah. Who did I have on? Kyle Roof just recently. We were talking about, gateway pages and how people can, instead of having the best of certain, best of like five best air conditioners or whatever it is, you could create an email list. People could get on the email list and you could, do a proper review, give them a resource, and then you can have the affiliate links in the email. Versus like just doing gateway pages from the site, where Google has really cracked down on that. They were cracking down on that long before this the big hit, I guess, through 2024. And when I think about like the whole system of building a business that has a bit more or isn't reliant on just organic traffic from like social media, organic or anywhere. When you use some advertising to build an email list of people that are interested in a certain product, then you've got that email list, and that's like really the value source of the business. And then as the business might evolve and change in say 5 years' time or 10 years' time, as your products and your services should evolve with that time period, because it should evolve to cater to the audience based on what they want, you can start selling different products as the business grows in different stages, and you might not even know or fathom what those products or services are, right?
It's just having that customer list and seeing the kind of lifetime value of collecting a customer, because you mentioned you may be selling a course for $100, so the value of the customer is $100, but actually once you've got funnels in place and email list, the value of that customer may be far greater than that, and probably is if you're going to be promoting affiliate and other products and services. So yeah, Mads coined a great phrase, just to go back to Mads. It was to think like a CEO and not an SEO. And it was, you know, trying to, which is great. He comes up with all the great things. I'm hoping to get him on my podcast.
Yeah, have you ever had him on? Long time ago though. So I should get him back on actually.
Well, yeah, he put up a post yesterday. He's looking for places to jump on. So now's
the
chance.
I'll hit him up. I've got his email and we'll get him back on. Yeah. I think we talked about systems last time he was on the pod, but
Yeah, he's very much about systems. He's also about, again, which is great advice, is basically getting more money from the traffic you've already got, because we're constantly, as website owners, looking to get more and more traffic. But there can be some little things that you can just change, or a new product you can bring in, an extra email in your funnel that can just increase the value of the traffic that you're already getting. And obviously, that's a lot easier than trying to continually grow the traffic.
Same with the intention of the traffic. This is what such a bummer about Google was, is that the intent of the traffic compared to other social media platforms, people are closer on their buyer's journey to making a purchase from Google traffic versus social media or Pinterest. And that's a big bummer about Google. But if we think about the type of traffic or the intention of traffic that we're getting, and then also the higher your intent, the more value, you know, you're going to get from that traffic without having to just get more. I like that ideology as well. So what are you going to do, Alex? Like, you got this AI site and you got this other site. Like, have you got a plan?
I've got a plan. I've got a couple of plans actually. So the first one is I've been going back to basics with WP Eagle. So doing a lot more kind of tutorials and reviews and things around, not just WordPress, although I originally started with WordPress tutorials, but kind of expanding out into online business and that kind of thing. So that's going really well. I've also started a brand new project, which is all about where I live here in Spain. So the town I live is called Estepona. It's kind of on trend at the moment. It's becoming very popular from a tourism point of view. There's a lot of building going on of hotels and things, which, you know, I'm not sure I'm too happy about, because I've been coming to the town for a long time and it's losing a little bit of its charm. But on the flip side, it's getting more and more visitors every single year. It's becoming very popular with Northern Europeans, like, you know, Swedish people and from Norway and Denmark and all those kind of places. So I'm going to create a resource for English speakers that visit the town. And it's going really well. I've started with a social media first approach. So I've already started building up all the socials across, you know, all the different platforms, TikTok and Instagram and everything, posting every single day. I've also been visiting a lot of the local cafes and restaurants and filming videos, trying the food, trying the service. And that's good fun. And yeah, it's fresh and it's enjoyable. And yeah, I'm confident that I can make something of it. And again, building an email list of people that either live here in the town or are regular visitors, and I think I can create something of value.
Yeah, I think that's such a good way to go in business, is building out a bit of an audience that are interested in something, whether they live there or they're regularly visiting, and then just asking what they need and want. For example, if you've got people that are on your email list and they're coming to the town, you might think, oh, we only want to know where the good cafes are. But maybe they're like, what about, you know, are there any tours that are good here, you know, or are there any adventures that we don't know about that we should know about, where you could say, yeah, we've got these in this town, we've got these three different tours or adventures that you could link up with those businesses, right? And, you know, partner with them. And I think that's a really exciting way to go. Everybody wins in that scenario, and that's what business should be about, really.
Yeah, I am excited. And you're right, people, when you go on a trip, especially if you've gone to a place, you know, more than once, you can kind of run out of inspiration. And, you know, it's nice to keep going to the same restaurants and cafes, but, you know, sometimes you want to do something fresh. So an email list with inspirational ideas of, you know, have you tried taking a hike up the mountain or going to the port and going out on a boat, you know, there's lots of ideas. And then also when people are in situations like when it's raining, what do you do when it's raining here? Because it's a very outdoor town and most places are only cater for outside space. Or what do you do when you got kids? There's lots of ideas. And I've already spoken to a few local businesses here because I know quite a lot just from being here and going out. And they're all very interested in getting involved and And there's also a lot of real estate agents here that are very interested in getting involved because, as I say, as people discover the town, they often want to buy property.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be a bigger paycheck is if you get like what you could see. Like I like to think about the journey of somebody, of your audience and what their like sort of end result would be. But like, for example, you guys, like you with the, your local town, people might come and visit once and they like it, so they'll come back and then eventually they'll love it so much that they go and purchase a property. Like the journey of them, you serving them each single step of the way is like when you first get here, do the tourist things, then you move into the more local stuff, and when you start to love it a bit more and join these different types of communities and then you want to buy a property and settle here, it's like you've got that whole journey that people can – you know, you can help, you can serve people along that way, a lot, the whole way through, you know, the lifetime of that lifetime customer or CLTV. Not, I don't think that's a bit, you know, business and money orientated, but like if you think about it from a service point, it's like you get to really help somebody a lot.
And that's actually how I started, because I just from knowing the town, and obviously I speak English with a bit of Spanish, but there's a lot of people that come here and they don't speak any Spanish, so they find it difficult to ask around what's going on. And you know, even when I see tourists kind of walking around and maybe they're on their phones and they just look a little bit lost, I'll often say, "Are you lost? You need some help?" And they'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'm looking for this place," and I'll just point them in the right direction. And that's kind of why I started, because I get a lot of satisfaction out of helping people get the most out of their trip here or their stay here. So that was always my first approach, that I wanted to help people enjoy the town as much as possible. And of course, hopefully the side effect of that will be that I can earn some money. But going back to what I was saying earlier, I'm taking it from a, you know, a business approach rather than just a website approach. And so I'm going to have to do deals with local businesses in terms of sponsorship. I want to probably sell ads directly rather than using an ad network like Ezoic or Mediavine. So people can really kind of choose the sort of coverage and reach that I can give them, whether it be via my email list, whether it be via my social media, or whether it be just a, you know, simple banner or something on the website.
And that's you just doing what Mads has mentioned, right? Is you're thinking like a CEO, not an SEO. And
And obviously there is a big SEO component involved, because, you know, I want to get plenty of traffic to the website, but that's only a small part of it.
Yeah, and SEO for, you know, all the different channels too. It's not just Google, right? It's like you said, you're doing TikTok and all that sort of stuff. So tell me about YouTube. Like, you've been doing YouTube for how long now with WP Eagle?
Oh, God. I don't know, maybe 7-8 years, probably longer, in fact. Okay. I've on WP Eagle, there's over 1,000 videos. So, yeah, it's got to be a few years.
That's impressive. That's awesome. And so what's your thoughts on, like, we can try compare them, but they're very different. But what's your thoughts on for, say, like, a blog, what's your thoughts on traffic from YouTube versus Google originally?
I think you've heard about parasite SEO, right? It was a hot topic where you create some content and you publish it onto a site with authority and then you get ranked on Google fairly quickly. And there's a lot of affiliates killing it by sticking stuff on Outlook India and these other random sites. Google are cracking down on that at the moment. Doesn't work so much. But one site that still ranks really well and really quickly on Google is YouTube. So, for example, I put a video up yesterday, and it was a tool about how you can create how you can turn your long form content into short form content very quickly using a bit of AI, and it's a really cool little editing tool. If you do a Google now for, you know, short video or long video into short video, something like that, that video is now page one of Google already. In fact, it was page one within about an hour. So I think YouTube is still an incredibly important part of your traffic generation sources or whatever. Yeah, I love it. And I've been doing YouTube for a long time. I've done a lot of videos. I've done live streams. And it's kind of making sure that you've got a bit of a strategy. So I kind of lost my way a little bit, and I started creating a lot of content just for my subscribers, which was fine. And it would get a lot of views quite quickly. After I published it, it would go out to subscribers. They'd watch it. They'd enjoy it. But it wasn't growing my channel at all. I wasn't doing any kind of keyword research. I wasn't building videos for search. So I've gone back to that a little bit, where I am still doing videos for my subscribers, but then I'm also doing videos where I'm thinking about what people might be looking for on Google and on YouTube, and using those videos to try and grow grow the channel and get traffic to my site.
I love that. I love that, because then you expand your audience and, you know, they can, like, they might find you for something else, but then after, like, being in your content wheelhouse, start to learn about something. It's like, well, that piques my interest, and they can go down their own wormhole in your content bank on YouTube and then eventually end up with, like, a great result. So with YouTube,
so I think it's getting a balance. And yeah, I like to use all things on YouTube. I mean, for WP Eagle, I don't use shorts so much. On my new channel about the travel stuff and Estepona, I've been doing a lot of shorts. They've been working really well. But on WP Eagle, the audience is very different. So long form content works really well. And also live streaming. I love live streaming. I haven't done so much recently, but I did one a couple of weeks back. I had Ricky Kessler on from Income School, and we had an interesting interview. And I like the interaction between myself and my community that you get with a live stream. It's in real time, you know, comments are coming in, and yeah, it's fun. And even if people don't watch it live, they do often come back later and watch it. And that's the other thing about live streams, is you can create a whole load of short content from a long live stream. If you use an AI tool or maybe even pay someone to go through your stream and pick out all the good bits, you can generate 4 or 5 good bits of content from one live stream.
And so with this AI, is this like just a tool that is cutting the video into short parts, or is it like creating a shorter script for you to create a brand new video? Like, what's...
No, it kind of cuts it down automatically. It goes through and it tries to figure out which bits it thinks are the most interesting, and it gets it right sometimes. But then it also does the transcription. It adds the captions. It can, you know, add those little emojis, and it can do the, what do you call it, auto framing, so that if you've got two guests, you know, in a wide format, it will move the camera around so that they fit into the more vertical format. And yeah, it's just a real quick way to repurpose content.
Nice. I think I was doing that with a different podcast. I have a property podcast in property investing. And my other co-host was like experimenting with video. V-I-D-Y.
Video, yeah. That's one I've used. The one I've been using recently is Vizard. That's probably my favorite, but there's Opus Clips as well. There's quite a few. And I think that's the thing with AI. It is still going to be a useful tool. I think when it first came out, we all got very excited and started, you know, creating articles with it and that kind of thing. And I don't think that's the way forward with AI, but I think as a tool to help you more efficient when it comes to creating videos or planning out content or consolidating and extracting information from a lot of data, I think AI is definitely going to be useful. I mean, but I guess we'll wait and see. And I saw there was a new ChatGPT release yesterday, I think. On Monday,
I
maybe.
Seen that. Yeah, interesting. It's, I think it was really good. Like, I mean, not going to lie, I experimented with AI, and most people did, because you could get cheaper content. You get really cheap content that's reasonably good, and it could work, and it worked. You know, we saw these people crush it, build those massive AI sites, like you said, and just like crush it. And at the end of the day, like if you think about the long-term approach, like how much value is a human actually going to see in that in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, even the first?
Well, or none, really. That's the thing. And also I think the way people find information is going to change now because of AI. So the simple questions, like one of my AI sites was, can you wash it? And it was basically answering questions about what you can wash. You know, can you wash towels with bed sheets? Can you wash whites with darks? Can you wash a cat with bleach? There's a lot of random things people were searching for. And I was using AI to create articles around that. But of course, those kind of questions are going to be answered directly from the search engines with AI when Google releases SGE, which I think they've started to roll out already in the States now. We could get to a point where for all those kinds of searches, there are no blue links on the search results pages. It's literally just an answer and that's it. And maybe as we move to voice search and as AI gets integrated more into your smartphone, the way people get information is certainly going to change. But I think the one thing that's going to remain is things like video content and podcasts and social media and real human content.
Yeah, real. Yeah.
That's certainly going to be something that we always want.
I'm with you on that. And I was speaking about this years ago, maybe 4 years ago when I first started my podcast. I'm like, I'm excited for the day when you search something on Google or a search engine and like a 3-minute or a 1 minute answer of my voice or somebody else's voice on podcast gives you the answer like this without you having to read. And it's just like, you've got the value very, very easily. Like, I mean, YouTube already does it. Like sometimes, I mean, when you type into Google how to do this thing, what was I was trying to do something here the other day, and I was just Googled it, and then YouTube gave me just like this short part of this longer video with the answer in it. And I was like, that's coming. It's coming down the line. And video and audio is strong.
Yeah. And that's really useful because there's loads of great information in these videos and in these podcasts. But of course, a lot of these podcasts are like an hour or long or even longer. And it's very hard to find those real juicy bits of information. So yeah, I'm excited for that too.
So on WP Eagle, so how do you help your, like, so you make money through ad revenue, but then do you, like, how does it, what's the, like, the business model that you, what do you, where do you push this traffic to, I guess, from you?
Okay. So WP Eagle makes money through ad revenue and for affiliate, through a lot of the tutorials that I have created. They often involve some sort of product or service, you know, even like the very basic ones, like how to create a WordPress website. People need to buy hosting, domain names, maybe plugins and themes. So there's always an affiliate opportunity there. I've also, myself and a couple of other guys created a WordPress theme called Popcorn Theme, which has been going pretty well. Although we created the theme, I'm going to say a year ago, maybe a little bit longer. We created the theme for niche website owners. So it was particularly targeted at people that wanted to create a content website quickly. And they wanted to have some features, you know, like product comparison boxes, calls to action. So we had all that stuff built in. Now, of course, with the recent changes and the recent change with Google and just the general vibe has changed within that community, that's not doing so well anymore. But, you know, we'll think of something that we can do with that in terms of repurposing it or realigning it so that it is something that people want. But I think people maybe they're holding fire on setting up new sites right now.
I think you're right. Like, I know that, like, my audience are like waiting around to see what's happening with search, whether they're going to buy a blog or not. I think it's still an opportunity. Speaking to some SEOs, they're just pretty bullish on, I think even, I don't know if it was Eli Schwartz was talking with me about it, but might've been somebody else, but talking about how when Panda came out, just decimated so many things, so many sites. And then eventually, you know, these sites sort of started to come back. I know some SEOs are a little bit bullish on that and holding on to some optimism. So we'll see. And, you know, in my space, people are sort of like waiting to see, like, is it an opportunity to buy a content site now when, you know, it's not faring as well and value it based on its, you know, current traffic.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. What is the market like in terms of the buy sell space? And also, did you have anyone that just like invested big into a site just before all this stuff happened? And how are they now? Are they okay?
Yeah. So first and foremost, yes, we've had people invest prior to, like, well, a lot of people had invested, you know, prior to this, even if it's like 2 to 3 years up. But I think we had like two people that invested pretty close to this happening. I think they might have like bought in January, February-ish, based on because October last year, there was in 2023, there was a bit of a hiccup with, you know, some changes with Google Helpful Content Update, and we value the business based on the new sort of revenue and traffic levels based on that. It was a great opportunity. You know, most of us didn't see any of this happening. Obviously, when people buy businesses that have only single source dependency on Google, we highlight, hey, this is a risk and you need to understand that this is a risk. And if you're happy with those risks and you're willing to take on board those risks, and then you can invest, it's up to you. And yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. That's, you know, I got hit. We had two people get hit that bought like quite close to the March shenanigans with Google.
But I'm hoping these people are fairly wealthy people anyway. It wasn't like their last 10,000 or whatever that they.
No, they were larger. Site. They were larger. You know, I think one was around 80K, one was around 100K. And I always tell people never to invest more than 80% of their capital or available capital into an asset. So you have some contingency as well. Also, your risk profile and tolerance should be based on what other assets you have or liabilities you have as well. So I like to tell people about that. And then, yeah, one of them got, to answer your question, one of them got like, it was like 40% down, traffic down. And then one was worse. It was like around 70 to 80%. And it sort of bottomed out. And yeah, we're going to see, like, we've been working with them, with our SEO agency. You know, what we were doing was seeing some good changes to those sites. Now, you know, we're just sort of pause them because we're like, we're not going to just take your money and just do work when we're just trying to work out what's going to give you ROI, right? So we're really good with our clients of like, let's just pause everything. Let's just chill. Let's just cruise. Let's sort of like work out, let the dust. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're not, you know, just taking money and, you know, trying to, you know, put food on the table for ourselves and nobody else. We want to make sure that we are doing the right thing. And when people are ready to, when we start seeing results in certain things, then we go, hey, this is the proof that this has worked. Let's try implement this slowly on your site with a smaller budget and then increase it as we start to see more results. I think that's the best way to go in life, is to start off a little bit and then go through.
Yeah, because there were people I saw on Twitter, like pretty much straight after the recent spam update and the recent core update, and they were like trying to sell recovery services, and thinking, how do you even know what Google want right now? And from what I can see from the SERPs, it's going to be incredibly difficult to get small sites back up there when they're just dominated by Reddit and Quora and other things. They're just people selling a snake oil really and just going to run off with some cash, right?
I'll put my hand up and say that we have sold recovery packages, but not on this one. Not on this one that's just recently happened, based on ones that we have seen worked for like back 30 years ago. We've seen this has worked on the recovery, and we've got case studies proven. Like, we took a site, we grew it outside of four changes in the algorithm, and then we grew it 373%. Yeah, that was based on some of the strategies that we had used with other sites that we knew worked. That site that we grew, it did pretty well. And then some changes happened again with Google. So it's like, it's down a little bit again. It's a heartbreaking thing to have happened when you're so dependent on one single source. And it hurts. It's hurting everybody. But it's at the same time, when I lost all of my, I basically lost my business, it was the best thing that happened for me in my business and in entrepreneurship. For me personally, I'm not saying this is awesome for everybody and what's happening right now is great. But for me, when I reflect back in hindsight, it was like, it really taught me the lessons I needed to become the entrepreneur I am today. And it's really hard to see that when you're in it. It's really hard, isn't it?
No. And yeah, business is never a straight linear line going to the top, is it? It's always going to have these ups and downs. And you're absolutely right. Those downs should hopefully be a valuable lesson so that when you come back, that doesn't happen again and you build something much stronger, much more resilient. Just quickly going back to the market, is there people out there that are looking for sites that have been hit? Because I'm sure there's plenty of those available right now. And I guess it is a huge opportunity. If you've got the funds, the resilience to be able to invest in these things and maybe turn them around, you can pick up sites that are, because I know before all this, the multiple was like 30, 35x on sites, but I'd imagine it's a lot less now, maybe 15x or even lower.
I would say the multiples would probably be around the 20s to 30s still. However, the valuation will be based on the last sort of, you know, where it's baselining at, you know, now. And I typically like to tell people that you should have 12 months of traffic and revenue data. Sometimes people are looking for that. To answer your question, yeah, there's people out there who's like, all right, cool. After 3 months, we can see that this is like the low, or this is the platform. Hopefully it's the low. We never know. It's business. But yeah, basing the valuation of the last 3 months. And there are people out there looking for them, but there's also a lot of people sitting on the sidelines going, well, let's just wait until see what happens. And then I've got other people like, this is great. Like, we can invest in e-com businesses, SaaS membership businesses. So we've still got people looking, buying businesses. And it's just a portion of what I teach and what we do is sort of like just people are just sort of testing the waters in that area for those business models. But it's, I think, like anything, you know, I think there's some pretty, like you said, there's some real opportunity, like real opportunity.
Interesting times. But then with business and especially internet business, it's never plain sailing. There's always things that happen. There's always change that's going to occur, and just got to be prepared and adjust and flow and be, you know, more liquid and fluid with what you're doing, and try not to be too rigid in your processes and your approaches, and be prepared to be flexible and change.
See, this is the thing that people don't think about when it comes to, it was like, oh, I want to make money online and I can get the freedom and I get all these things with it, and it is awesome. But things move pretty fast online. Things move exceptionally fast, and, you know, sometimes we just don't see these things coming. And I think, like you said, is like, and Mads is like, think like a CEO, think holistically. How do I make sure I have this business still in 10 years' time? How do I make sure I'm still serving people in this way or better in 10 years' time when these unforeseen things and events can happen? And that really comes from, in business, is multiple, not just multiple traffic streams, but multiple revenue streams and multiple different like little moats you can have around those, you know, those traffic streams and those revenue streams, and building that into an audience so you own more of the, you know, market cap, I guess. Yeah, there's a lot in it.
Because it's guaranteed that there's going to be some big unforeseen event that's going to happen. That's just inevitable in life, and just especially with online business, and they happen more frequently, I think, online. But yeah, AI was a big one. Google change was another one. Going back, you know, when phones started to become more popular, if there's a new social media platform, all these things you don't see them coming, and they change everything. And with regards to AI, I don't think we've seen the effects of AI on the kind of real world yet. I mean, we're already starting to see it online because we're in that space, but I think it's only going to be a matter of a few years before it really starts to disrupt people's kind of regular real life sort of jobs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's like when we first, I think I was listening to a podcast, I forget which one it was. It's like when the internet first came out, it was just crazy. Like it was a game changer for the world, right? And we didn't really know when it first came out how big it was going to be and how much of an effect it was going to have on our lives. And now internet is everything. Imagine if you weren't connected. If you go without sometimes like 6 hours, unless you're going on a hike and camping trip and whatnot, if you're typically without internet connection for 6 hours, you're like, hot, like something's wrong. Typically, if you don't have your phone in your hand, you know, you're typically like, well, what's going on? We're so reliant on the internet. Businesses can't survive or take money or payments without the internet. It's so important and so big, and we didn't fathom how big and important it was. And then this is what AI is right now. We have this idea of like it's going to change everything, but we still don't realize like what it's going to be like. It's crazy.
Yeah, and for the younger generations, those that have just grown up with the internet, that think that's normal and that's what life is, it's crazy. I was watching a podcast yesterday, and I can't remember who it was on. Hamza, I think it was, and he was talking about how he's a Pakistani guy, and how his father, you know, took the family over from Pakistan to the UK, and he did all that before the internet, you know, so to try and get visas and stuff, you know, he had to go to a building, didn't quite know where it was, didn't know when it was open, you had to just wait outside, and he just couldn't get his head around what you went out and you didn't have Google Maps, you didn't check the Google reviews. It's like, blows their mind how we even functioned before the internet. How on earth you went out and people couldn't contact you, or you couldn't look at a map? And yeah, that's how life was. And it seems kind of strange that there's a whole generation of kids and people now that have got no comprehension of a life before the internet.
It's interesting and it's wild. And we've got a lot of really cool things coming for us and for society. And I'm pretty bullish on it. If we have the main principles on like serving people with a good holistic business, we can definitely, all of us listening to the pod can benefit. Now, before we go, Alex, I want to ask you, who is like one entrepreneur, maybe two entrepreneurs that you know that like you really look up to? Not just because of their success, but because of like how they carry themselves through life.
Oh, interesting. I really like Stephen from the Diary of a CEO. Have you seen him? Stephen Bartlett. I think he's an interesting character and a very inspirational business person. To be honest, YouTubers have always inspired me, and also people that have come from a real tough beginning that then make it somewhere. So, and someone else you may not have heard of is a rapper from Manchester called Bugsy Malone, who had an incredibly rough childhood and upbringing, and now has, you know, really made a success for himself, not just in music, but also in business in terms of building himself as a brand and creating products around that. So I always find them inspiring. But yeah, there's a lot of YouTubers that they kind of got me started, you know, just I thought it was fantastic that you could, by consistently creating content for your subscribers and you know, just doing it on a very consistent basis, which I guess is the key to most things, is just you find something that you want to do and that works and you just keep on doing it and you turn up every single day. They always inspire me. But yeah, there's so many people that kind of inspire me. Of course, Mads, who I only met recently. In terms of the SEO space, James Dooley is another one that I kind of think is a great model to follow in terms of how he's built SEO out to become a multi-million pound enterprise through creating hundreds of different sites. So yeah. Awesome. I love that. There are a few people that spring to mind. But yeah, if I thought about it more, I could probably come up with 10, 20, 30
people. I kind of put you on the spot with it, to be honest, and you crushed it. But I'm with you on like the underdogs, and YouTubers are typically the underdogs, and they just create and they just are doing it for their audience and for the greater good. And it's just because it is a slog, right? At the start, YouTube is an absolute slog. And I guess that's the same with business, but yeah.
Everything is a slog to start with. It takes a long time before you start seeing the results that you're hoping for. And I think that's what separates the people that make it and those that don't. You're going to keep going and keep going, and you're going to keep creating videos, or you're going to keep posting content or whatever it is you're doing. And you're going to do it for a while, and you're not going to see the needle move much. And to keep going, even though that you're not seeing too much growth or too much success, that's the real trick. You've got to just keep going, because there's going to be one video or there's going to be one thing that you do that does just tip the balance a little bit on the scales, and then things are going to start to get easier and that growth's going to happen. So yeah, it's all about perseverance and consistency and the belief in yourself. And you're absolutely right. If you take business and basically in anything that you do from the point of view that you're there to help people and you're there to provide value to the world and, you know, be a net positive, then rather than just kind of thinking about the money, you'll find that life becomes and business becomes a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable and a lot more rewarding. And a side effect of that will be that you make some money.
I love that, Alex. What a way to finish the pod. That was awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for coming on. Where can we send people to find out more about you?
You can find me at wpeagle.com, or just head over to YouTube and do a search for WP Eagle and you'll find me. And well, any of the social media, you'll find me if you just type in WP Eagle.
Specifically, guys, thanks for listening to the pod. Go to the YouTube channel. Alex does have great, 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 great YouTube videos. So appreciate what you do for the community, Alex, and everybody is listening. If you are a business owner, and you have been affected, or you know somebody that has been affected by these Google changes, please share this podcast episode with them. There's a lot of insights that Alex shared through this that I think would be applicable to a lot of people, that would be able to help people through a tough time that a lot of us are going through. And thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me. See you soon.
Hey, YouTube watcher. If you thought that video was good, you should check out this video here on the two best types of websites beginners should buy. Or check out my playlist on how I made my first 100K from buying websites and how to do due diligence. Check it out. It's an awesome playlist. You'll enjoy it.